Going to have a short reading from the scriptures, from Philippians chapter 2, reading verses 1 to 11. So if there is any encouragement in Christ, any comfort from love, any participation in the Spirit, any affection and sympathy, complete my joy by being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. Do nothing from rivalry or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. But each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. And being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. And may God bless us and give us understanding of that reading from his holy and inerrant word. Just a few thoughts from that passage. The Lord Jesus Christ came into the world. He came willingly. He didn't have to be forced to do it. He came at the behest of the Father. Remember that God exists as three persons. You scratch your head and say, doesn't that mean there are three gods? No, one God, the Bible tells us, one God who has revealed himself as three persons. Not that he was the Father, and then later on he was the Son, and then later on he was the Holy Spirit. They all exist together at the same time throughout history, before history, and beyond history. So God the Father sent God the Son into the world. John tells us in his Gospel that God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. God the Father sent him, but the Lord Jesus Christ came willingly. He was not compelled to come. He chose to do what his Father had asked him to do, and to come into the world. Though he was in the form of God, he did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped. He didn't say, I'm not going to go and become a man and live amongst that riffraff, all those sinners, all those people who hate us, all those people that do all the things that they've been told not to do, and who don't do the things that they have been told that they should do. I'm not going to go and live amongst them. That wasn't his attitude. He said, I will go. I will go because they need me. Without me, there is no hope for them. The end is the grave, and after the grave, there is the judgment. And at the judgment, all will be found guilty of sin. And all will be condemned. There is no hope unless the Lord Jesus Christ willingly came into the world. We hear, it's always amusing when I ask people, how are you? They say, oh, I'm good. And I say to them, that's theologically inaccurate. Because no one is good, Jesus said, but God alone. We are all sinners. We all fail to do what God requires of us. And therefore we are all condemned, even by our own standards. We are self-condemned when we say, oh, they shouldn't have done that, but then the next day we do the very same thing. Well, if it was wrong for someone else, it's wrong for us. And so we condemn ourselves by the way we pass judgment on others. Without the coming into the world of the Lord Jesus Christ, there would be no hope for anyone. So he did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped. I must maintain my status in this glorified position. No, he laid that aside, made himself nothing. He didn't come into the world in a king's palace. He came in humble circumstances. We hear it described as a stable. As I said earlier, it would have been that part of the house, the family home where they kept the animals, because the place would be jam-packed because of the census. Remember, at the beginning of beginning of Luke chapter 2, we're told that the emperor decreed there should be a census. Everybody had to go to their hometown or home city to be registered according to their families. And Joseph's family home was Bethlehem. And that's why they travelled from the north down to the south to Bethlehem, there to be registered. Mary was pregnant, and when they arrived, the house was already full, and so you read in most translations, there was no room for them in the inn, but a better translation would be the guest room. It was already full. And so they had to go into that part of the house where the animals were kept. And that's where she gave birth. Very humble circumstances. And that's what Jesus was born into. Made himself nothing. And as he grew, he didn't go around saying to me, look, I'm the Son of God. I am God in the flesh. You must bow down to me. He never said that. And yet people did bow down to him, because people recognize him for who he is, that he is the Son of God, that he is God in human flesh. But he took the form of a servant. He went round serving people. He went round doing people good. He preached to people and told them about the coming kingdom of God. He told them about their sin, not because he said, "Ah, you dreadful sinner!" He never did that. Well, except with the Pharisees. But the Pharisees thought they were wonderful people. They were perfect. No one could tell them they'd done anything wrong. They were a bunch of hypocrites. And Jesus exposed their hypocrisy. But to the ordinary people, he was kind and he was gentle with them. He showed them that they were sinners, but he showed them also the love of God, that they could be forgiven of their sins. Indeed, one of the evidences that everyone knew that he was God in the flesh was when he said, "Your sins are forgiven." And the response was, "Who can forgive sins but God alone?" Because Jesus is God, and he could forgive the sins of anyone that he chose to. So he was a servant. He looked like a man in every way. He appeared like a man. Ignore all the Christmas cards. Ignore all the medieval art where Jesus walks around, blonde hair, flowing white robe, which glowed, and with a great big halo round his head. That was not the reality. He appeared to anyone who observed to be just like any other man. But his behavior, his character, everything about him, the way he acted, behaved, spoke volumes that he was indeed God come in the flesh. Being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient. That's obedient to his Father, because it wasn't merely coming into the world so that once a year we could have a happy time and sing lovely songs, all these lovely Christmas carols, which, by the way, most of them are loaded with the theology of the Bible, and they talk about all these things. We shouldn't just sing because we like the tune. As we're singing, we should think about the words we're singing and to realise that this is telling us what the Bible says. And we miss out so much of Christmas carols if we just sing them because, oh, well, they're nice to sing. They are nice to sing, but they are also nice to read and to understand. They're teaching us what the Bible says. But Jesus didn't just come into the world in order that we might have a nice time at Christmas and give each other presents. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross, the most humiliating form of execution. It was very humiliating. I won't describe it for you, but it was very unpleasant. You might be thinking, Life of Brian. Life of Brian was nothing like the reality. The reality was terrible, and people would hang upon a cross, and it would take hours for them to die in agony. And usually they died partially from exhaustion and partially because their lungs filled with fluid, and they drowned in their own bodily fluids. It was a most unpleasant death. The Romans were not nice people, at least those who had worked out this method of execution. But Jesus went willingly to the cross because he knew that by doing that, he would take upon himself the punishment for sin that you and I deserve. And to prove that he had actually achieved that, he then rose from the dead, and so is now still alive. And because of what Jesus did in dying on the cross, therefore God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. And you might say, well, that hasn't happened. Not every knee bows to Jesus. Not every tongue confesses that Jesus Christ is Lord. That is true at the moment. But there is a time coming. Who knows if it might be this afternoon? Who knows whether it might be another 1,000 years? We have no means of knowing, but we do know Jesus told us that he would return and he would judge the world in righteousness, and we will have to stand before him and give an account. And at the judgment, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that he is Lord. But how much better to take him as Lord now, bow the knee to him now, and to receive from him the forgiveness of sins in our hearts. As I mentioned last week, the day 50 years ago, when I surrendered my life to Christ, I knew such peace and joy and mercy and love as I cannot describe. And it was so unexpected. I had felt full of dread and terror because I knew God was angry with me because of my sin. And suddenly I believed in Christ and that all went. And I was forgiven. And it was wonderful. And my life was transformed. Not that I became perfect. And if anyone who knows me knows, I am still a long way off being perfect. But I'm not what I was. I am better than I was, but I still have a long way to go. Do pray for me. I'll pray for you. That you might find the forgiveness of God. That's why Jesus came into the world. That you might be forgiven for all that you have ever done wrong and ever will do wrong. And that you might know peace and joy in your hearts. And we hear a lot of people talk about peace and joy at Christmas, but Jesus offers peace and joy throughout the year to everyone who will believe in him and receive him as their saviour from their sins. Well, may you have a very blessed Christmas, and especially that you would meditate on these things and know God's peace in your hearts as a result of Jesus coming into the world.